I Suck at Dating with Dean Ungler and Jared Haven, an iHeartRadio podcast.
What's going on, Suck Army? We are back for an all-new end-of-the-year episode for Help I Suck at Dating. We are so happy to have you here. So happy to be here speaking to you, with you guys, to you guys, whatever you want to say. Jared, what's going on, man?
You know, it's just the holiday season, brother.
To be honest, you love being honest. We're recording this before Christmas. I can't ask you how your Christmas went. But Jared, how do you think your Christmas is going to go? Let's go ahead and maybe like peer into the future a little bit. And how do you think it's going to go?
Hopefully well and healthy. It's a different Christmas. Everybody's experiencing this, man. We're, you know, the family. Usually we get together with, you know, a bunch of different people on Christmas. We go to my cousin's for Christmas Eve, and usually there's like 10 to 15 people there. And then Christmas Day will come, and my grandfather will come over, my parents, my sister, my brother-in-law. And then Christmas night, my cousins will come over. So we see usually, you know, 20 to 30 people throughout the 2 days. And then unfortunately, we're just not doing that this year. So we are going to get together a very small group. It's just going to be my parents, me, Ashley, and my sister. My brother-in-law is actually in the Coast Guard, and he's serving overseas right now. So he just left a few weeks ago, so he's not going to be back till next November. So it's just going to be a small dinner, the five of us, but everybody's going through right now. Quarantine, Christmas, quarantine, birthdays all around.
Did your brother get the vaccine?
No. So my dad is actually getting the vaccine soon because he works in the correctional facility. And so he's actually getting vaccinated, I think, in like 45 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Which is insane. So Ashley's dad is a doctor down in Virginia. He's an anesthesiologist, and he's in his 60s. So he was one of the first to get vaccinated. He got vaccinated last week. And, you know, he feels fine. And he gets his second dose in a couple weeks. And then my dad gets vaccinated tonight. They both got the Pfizer one, not the Moderna one. So it's crazy, man. It's crazy to think that, like, here we go. We have a COVID vaccine, and it's being distributed, and people are getting vaccinated. It's just been a surreal 10 months, and certainly, you know, social distancing and mask wearing isn't going to be over for quite some time. But in terms of Christmas, that's our plans right now. What about you, man?
Well, let me check my Pfizer stock real quick now that we're on the topic.
Well, it's too late for that. You should have bought into that by April, May. You would have made some
nice money. It's down since I first bought it. That's kind of a bummer. Well, it's good that they're getting their vaccines. I haven't been following too closely, but I guess there's like a new strand or something that's coming out too.
Saying there's a new strand over in the UK. I mean, what are we going to do? Like at this point, everybody's trying to do the best we can. We don't know if it's going to affect the vaccine or not. It's still up in the air how contagious this new strain is, what the new strain is. Is it, you know, is the vaccine not going to, you know, work against it? It's just exhausting for everybody out there. So hopefully, dude, we just get out of this sooner rather than later, and we can all... I was thinking about it the other day because I was at the grocery store, and, you know, I'm still super nervous to just be within a few feet of anyone. So walking past people in aisles, I'm, like, trying to turn the other way, keep my distance, and I'm like, man, this is not the way life is supposed to be. It's so mentally draining, and for everybody out there, just... constantly being on and constantly trying to just be aware of your surroundings. And truthfully, for me, like being scared of everybody, you know, I'm scared to come within a few feet of anybody, even if they're wearing masks. It's like, damn, this is depressing.
Yeah, you are a bit of a hypochondriac, though. I mean, feel
maybe
like
a little bit, just a tiny bit. But you know what? I mean, back in March and April, everybody was on my side when I was like, you know, wash down the groceries, let's not converse with anybody. You know, things have changed since, obviously.
I saw this TikTok today that was like, what was something that you're doing pre-COVID that you can't even imagine doing now? And this girl was like, think about how when we used to go bowling, we would stick our fingers in these little holes and we would multiple times that everyone else was touching. And then we would eat this finger food and just like suck on our fingers, you know, like the chicken wings and all that kind of stuff. Imagine doing that now. Like that's
disgusting.
I went bowling in January. It's even crazier now.
I went bowling in January. So I went bowling when COVID was in the States.
That's pretty, I mean, it's just one of those, obviously. Right. It's one of those things that's already disgusting and you don't think about how disgusting it is. And then, you know, you kind of have some hindsight.
But I'm the type of guy, I always brought sanitizer with me, or I would, if like my thing, I was aware, you know, so if my fingers had been in a bowling ball, I would make sure I washed my hands before I ate something, which means I was the guy who'd go to the bathroom like 5 or 6 times throughout the night, not because I had to take a piss, but because I just needed to wash my hands. Because like you said, I'm a hypochondriac, but you know what? How's your Christmas?
Well, Kaylin and I are actually going to go get tested here pretty soon because we are going to be getting on an airplane and flying to Bozeman, Montana to see my brother.
Nice.
My brother, both my brothers are going to be there and my sister. And we don't really get many opportunities to all get together. And just kind of with, I don't know why or how, but this year everyone is around. And I guess we have the ability to all get to the same location, which is Bozeman, Montana. And so we're going to take that opportunity to kind of see each other. But yeah, like I said, we're going to get tested before we leave just to make sure everything checks out.
Yeah, it makes sense. I got tested. I mean, I haven't flown in a while, but I got tested on Sunday just for, I mean, it's free. And, you know, if I'm going to be around even like a couple people, it's like for peace of mind, I'd rather know.
Yeah, it's like the worst part about it is just waiting in line, which is not even that bad, depending on where you go.
I don't know if that'd be the worst part. The worst part is when it goes all the way up to your brain. I'd say that's, yeah, you know, not the best.
I got tested once and I think I had like too many boogers in my nose or something. Well, because they like shoved the boogers further up my nose, and it was like, because it was maybe my second time getting tested. First time was fine, you know, like it's uncomfortable, but like whatever. It was a clean swab up into the brain. But the second time, they like shoved all my boogers up even further up into my nose. It was the worst possible experience.
When I went this last time, the doctor was like, "Do you want to self-administer?" And I was like, "No."
I don't think if I do it,
I'm going to barely go up in the nose before my nose hairs start tickling. Just do it, yeah. Shove it up there. And then I'm such a drama queen, like I cough, so I have to keep my mask on because it's just involuntary, obviously. So when it goes all the way up to the back of my nose, I'm like,
yeah, there's a 0% chance I could self-administer. I broke my nose once when I was in high school, and they put these like big plastic stents up in my nose. And then I don't know if you ever broke your nose, but when they pull them out, it's like the most insane feeling. Like they feel like it literally feels like they're excavating your brain through your nose. And so ever since then, I've kind of like, I don't know. You can kind of just put up with it, I guess. But
all right, enough nose talking. What'd you get?
Sure.
Are you done Christmas shopping? You got anything else? Did you get Kaylin a gift?
Yeah, I did. I'm not getting anyone else any gifts. I think I've gotten my brothers and sister gifts so many times, and they always just seem so ungrateful. I'm sure that they're not ungrateful, but they don't really ever seem very excited about the things that I get them. So I'm just kind of given up.
Are they annoyed because they don't get anything in return? I've been yelled at numerous times throughout my adulthood because I'll get my cousins gifts without telling them that I'm getting them something, and then they get pissed off at me because I gave them a gift and they didn't give me a gift because they didn't think we were exchanging. So even though I'm the gift giver, I end up being the asshole in the case.
Yeah, I don't know if they've never verbally expressed it, but they seem pretty content with the idea of me getting them something and them not giving me anything back in return. But also, it's like, I don't need them to get me anything. What are they going to give me that I don't already, like, same with Kaylin. It's like, Kaylin can't really get me anything because I already have everything I already want for the most part, minus like a muscle car or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, so you're getting a muscle car for Christmas. That's nice.
It would be nice. Yeah. What are you going to get?
I don't know. So Ash and I talked about how we don't want to exchange too much. It is funny when you think about buying gifts for people as adults, because you know what the best gift of all is? Keeping your money. So that's like, you know, cousins and brothers and sisters. Like, I'm going to get you little knickknacks and stuff like that, but nothing too big. But Ash and I talked about what we're going to get each other and how much we're going to spend on each other. And so she got me two things, and she said she didn't spend more than $200. So I'm not spending more than $200. And I got her like some small, fun, thoughtful gifts, but I feel like I always underwhelm with gifts. You know,
what'd you get her? You can tell us because this doesn't air until after Christmas.
And she definitely doesn't listen to the podcast. I got her a Harry Styles candle, which I thought was a cute gift because she's obsessed with Harry Styles. And I figured, you know, I'd give her a candle with the picture of a beautiful man on there to show my, you know, security within this relationship and as a man. Even though I feel quite inferior to Harry Styles, obviously. What else I got her a shirt with young Leonardo DiCaprio and Mark Wahlberg on there because she's obsessed with both men. And it's a picture of them. I forget what movie they were in together, but they were in a movie when they were like teenagers. So it's a picture of them very young. Figured that'd be cute. I got her, so last year I got her a Mickey and Minnie snow globe. And it's a really nice snow globe, and I got it personalized with our wedding date on there, August 11th, 2019. And of course, what happened a few months later? She broke it. It was accidental. She was dusting off the top of the counter. It fell down, shattered it everywhere. So I ended up going back to the same store, getting the same snow globe, but instead of getting just inscribed our wedding day, I saw a mug in there that says, "You are my favorite person." And I was like, huh, I don't want to get her a mug, but I really like that. So on the Mickey and Minnie snow globe, I got it inscribed on the front saying, "You are my favorite person." August 11th, 2019. Dean, don't get jealous. You're a close second. But I thought that'd be a nice gift. Then I got her, I got her some personal gifts after that that I'm not going to talk about on the podcast. But, you know,
talk about them. Why not? Well, why are you keeping secrets from Suck Army?
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. I got her lingerie, you know?
Nice.
It's a little gift for both her and I.
I was going to say, is that more of a gift for her or for you?
A little bit of both, you know, keeping it spicy. You're trying to have a kid here.
What kind of lingerie? You know? Give us some more detail here.
I'm a lace type guy. My favorite are thigh highs, as we've talked about on this podcast before. But I'm a big fan of black lace with thigh highs because there's few things better in this world than that. I'm not like sometimes, you know, I don't know. Sometimes lingerie can get like a little too much. There's like holes in different places and like. Like little secret trap doors, and I'm like, I don't know, I don't need all this. Like,
you like the basic lingerie then?
But yeah. But a basic good black lace with thigh highs is my favorite. Molto bene.
What was that?
Molto bene. Isn't that very good in Italian? I don't know. I don't speak Italian. I went there once.
Well, that's nice, man. I'm sure she's gonna love it. I hope she got you some lingerie too, so you guys can wear your lingerie together.
You know, when I did Chippendales, she bought me a pair of boxers with like a bow tie in the front, so it made it look like a tuxedo on where, you know, the man parts are. So that was nice. So I have yet
and
to
have
use
you
them.
Ever, have you ever? Oh, I was gonna say. So you have not worn them for?
They're
her
quite
yet.
Uncomfortable. They're very tight because they're meant to, you know, really emphasize that part of the body to make it like, you know, look maybe a little bit bigger than it actually is. TMI, but whatever. So they're really not the most comfortable boxers. I wouldn't say they're me undies, but, I did try them once, but it was too laughable. Couldn't get in the mood. You know, you're like, I just feel like a joke.
What do you mean too laughable?
Well, because like, it's different when a girl dresses up, that's sexy. When a guy dresses up, maybe it's just because I'm attracted to women, but like when I put boxers on like that or like a bow tie, I'm like, I look like a jackass. Like, nobody's sexually aroused by me wearing this.
I've never dressed up. I would never do that. But listen, like you said, different strokes for different folks. Some people are into that kind of thing. Sounds like you are into it.
Once you're married, you'll get used to it. We're trying to have a baby, you know. We're trying to figure out different ways to
I thought you knew
alive.
That I was already married. Wait. Back up a second. I know you guys are. I know Ashley is quote unquote off the pill per her Instagram post. But what's the update on the baby situation? Are you guys still trying to have a baby? What's going on?
Yeah. So we're trying. We're actively trying. We're a couple months in. Yeah. It's so funny when you know you're trying to have a kid, and like every month it's like, all right, we're like. Is there a baby in there? Is this the month? And like, I don't know. I guess you're never ready to have kids. I feel like I'm ready to be a father. I feel like Ashley's ready to be a mom. I want to have kids, but it's crazy. I always get, you know, when she's like, okay, I'm taking the test today. It's like, oh Jesus, are we ready for this? Is this actually happen? Are we going to be bad parents?
How does this work? Do you keep track of like the ovulation cycle? So you
she does.
Know
she has
like
the Ava bracelet. She's got apps and books. She's, you know, one of the best traits of Ashley is that when she does something, she does it 110%, no matter what it is in life. Trying to have kids is no different. She's really good about it. It's not like, all right, let's just do it and see what happens. She's like, we need to do it on this day, on this hour. This is my peak. So we need to, you know, 2 days before, 2 days afterwards. And then, you know, I drink this or do that or eat that. And she just like got it down to a science.
Are you doing anything specific to help increase your chances?
Yeah, that's a negative. You know, sometimes You know, after she's pregnant, that's when my big, you know, I'll be the supportive guy. Now, like, what am I going to do? I need to, like, you know, I literally have like 45 seconds of work into this. That's all I have to do. It's so funny because we talk about it and she's like, you know, all the pressure's on you because you need to, you know, deliver in the moment just to, you know, because, but like, let's be honest. If they're married 45 seconds, listen, the reason I bring up 45 seconds, here we go. So if you're married or if you've been with someone for quite a while, you know, it's not like every 5 minutes you guys can just make love and it's as easy as possible. And especially when you're trying to have kids, sometimes it's like, okay, we need to have sex now. And you're like, like we just had a big prime rib and I just had like a brownie and I am not in the mood. So you just need to like be like, all right, well, just get in the mood because this is like her prime. And so let's do it. And so sometimes it's, you know, it's, I don't want to call it work because it's great. But like sometimes you want to like get it done as quickly as possible. So it's like, you know.
It's a numbers game at this point. You guys are just trying to play the odds.
Exactly. You know, we're just throwing as much as we can against the wall and just hopefully one of them sticks. So that was a bad choice of words right there within the context of the conversation. But, you know, so sometimes it's like, all right, let's, Jared, come on now. Like you can do this. Like focus. You got, you know, you can get this. In your prime, it took you like 15 seconds. You know, you can just channel that energy.
I think that there are things that men can do to increase their sperm count. Like I know not for a fact, but I remember like cowboys have a higher sperm count because they don't wear boxers. Like the further away from your body you can keep the thing where the semen are stored because heat kills them, and so if they're like not hugged up against your body, they perform better, I guess. But
so
that's all stuff that I'm sure you already know.
Yes, but that makes me nervous. Have you always worn boxer briefs?
No, I hate boxers, so I don't wear boxers.
So you're a commando, right?
I'm a cowboy. Yeah.
So what do you do when you have jeans on?
Just grit my teeth and get through it.
That's terrible. That seems so painful.
That's why you're hard-pressed to find me wearing a pair of jeans, I think is why. But, Jared, listen, man, good luck. I think it's going to happen when it's supposed to happen, right? Like, that's all we can really say.
It's in God's hands now.
Hey, and you want to know what? I want to say something. I appreciate you being so open and forthright about this, too. I know it's a sensitive topic. I know sometimes it can be hard to talk about, but I just appreciate your forthrightness there. So,
I appreciate that. Maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, I would have been more close to the chest about it. But now that I've married Ashley and she just puts everything out there, I've become more and more like her as we've been together longer and longer, where I'm just like, screw it. Let's just talk about it.
I love it. I love it. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We have a great guest coming up for you guys. His name is Garrett Mercantile. He is from 12 Dates of Christmas, airing on HBO Max. He is one of the three leads of the show, and we're excited to hear from him and jump into a little bit more about the show because there is some similarities to The Bachelor. There's some nuances that we're familiar with and some that we aren't familiar with. So we're going to take one quick break, and then we're going to jump right into speaking with Garrett. So stay tuned for that.
We have Robin Raines, VP of Matchmaking at 3-Day Rule, which is a matchmaking website. So Robin, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, so can you explain what 3-Day Rule is and how it differs from traditional dating apps and websites? Because I know a lot of my friends, and even back in the day, I was always on Tinder, and now we have Bumble, and we have so many different things going on right now. It's hard to keep up with what to do and what's best.
3-Day Rule is a modern matchmaking company. So we work with clients all over the US who basically come to us because they are too busy to waste time swiping and going on bad dates. So it's a lot of guys who, you know, maybe they don't have any trouble getting dates. They probably could go on dates every night of the week if they wanted to, but they get there and very often they know within 5 minutes that this date is not for them. And so we want to save them a lot of that time, a lot of that frustration. So they sort of outsource their love lives to us so we can just queue up the best of the best for them.
I'm sure Tori will probably sign up. I might make her sign up.
We'd love to match you.
So where can everyone find you? And also, can people request for you to be their matchmaker? How does that work?
Yeah, so I am one of those matchmaker of matchmakers. So I do, I'm one of the people that meets everybody who comes through our door. So there's a few of me on the team. So if you go to our website and sign up, it's just 3dayrule.com. You create that private profile. It takes like 2 minutes. And then you will be assigned to one of the matchmaker of matchmakers on our team. And they'll schedule the meeting with you. And then if you end up deciding that this is something you want to do, she'll pair you with one of the matchmakers on our team.
So again, guys, if you are interested in the matchmaking service, go to 3dayrule.com/PaigeSporanic.
Hey, welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. We have a very special guest who's on the line right now. You have seen him from the brand new HBO Max series, 12 Dates of Christmas. It is Garrett Markintel. Garrett, thanks for joining us, man. Welcome to Help I Suck at Dating.
Thank you. I'm excited to hear what questions you guys have for a gay man.
Listen, we're excited to ask you some questions too. And I want to point out, so yeah. before we had Garrett call in to join us on Help I Suck at Dating, I creeped his Instagram a little bit. And the listeners, I'm sure you can tell in his voice, but Garrett is an incredibly attractive man. And I've got a lot of questions for you for this show, because I think there has been a lot of talks in the past about obviously very informal talks, like what would happen if there was a gay bachelor or bachelorette or something along those lines. And that's kind of what we have here, it sounds like, right, Garrett? So for the listeners that aren't familiar with the show, and even honestly for me and Jared, because I haven't seen the show yet, but can you kind of fill us in on the show and how it works?
Definitely. Okay, so you have three bachelors here. You have a straight female, straight male, and a gay male. And the three of us are plucked out of our normal lives and we're sent to a magical Christmas castle that's set in Austria in the Alps. And while we're there, we have 6 blind dates and we don't know the structure. So all we just know is we're going to be meeting people. We didn't even know how many people we would meet. And then we had to just really go with the flow. And it was just like a very unique reality dating show set up, I would say. And it was stunning. Everything was just Christmas.
So how many, okay, so it was you, a straight man and a straight woman, and you guys were all looking for partners. Were there, I guess the nice thing about that would be that everyone's contestants, quote unquote, right, would be there for, it's pretty clear who they're there for. But so I have a question, because I think one of the reasons why I've always kind of assumed a gay bachelor bachelorette season wouldn't work is because sometimes I feel like the contestants could develop feelings for each other.
Right. Well, so, okay. So it's the gay world is very different than the straight world. I'll say that. And I was curious too, to see how this would play out. And I mean, first and foremost, like I really live in this bubble in New York City where like, I mean, New York's pretty gay. And so like, you can kind of just like, have your friend group that you choose. And I think that's one of the great things about New York City is everyone can kind of find their bubble. But going in, you're all living together in this castle. And so I didn't know like if at first I would arrive and I would have like 6 people there and then like everyone would have like all the equal amount of time to get to know each other, but it didn't really work that way. And I think that probably was best for me, maybe not for the contestants, but it definitely kind of like mitigated that opportunity for those other individuals to be able to like link up, if that makes sense.
So what made you want to go on the show?
Okay, so I was single and I was like, honestly, I feel like if there was a time of life to capture something like a romance on camera, it's now, like while I'm still young. And I'm a pretty adventurous type of person, so I don't know anything about television. And so this was kind of like one of those things that I felt if I was thrown into this, then the person that I was like getting thrown into it with, if we like could do this ride together, then it would probably be something that we would hold as this like special bond and we would always have it recorded and, and we like learned all these lessons together. And so I just thought it could be like a really cool like love journey to have.
So tell us more about the journey, because you said you had a mansion in the Austrian Alps, which sounds freaking amazing, right? So tell us a little bit more about maybe like the dates that you guys would go on or how you would spend your days. Because if you're living with everyone, right, are you spending every waking moment with each other, or is it kind of like you're only spending times with them when you're on dates? How did that whole work?
I had my own room. Everyone had their own room. I think some of the cast were sharing, some of the gay cast had like female roommates. But me, Chad and Faith, Chad and Faith are the other two leads. We all got there Valentine's Day, February 14th is when we
came
in. So we were like super excited for love. So we each had like our own corner of the top of the castle. And so the top floor of the castle had like the bigger bedrooms, and we had these like stunning views. And then Faith was lucky because she had a room next to Anthony. I won't say anything more than that. But all of my dates, they were two floors below me. So I didn't actually get to interact with anyone unless I was on camera. So it was like, first it was me, Faith, and Chad. We got to know each other. And then I didn't know who was coming and when. And then once we had the first date, it was just on camera interaction. And then I wouldn't see them again until the next opportunity that we were filming.
So tell us what was a date? Would you guys go skiing? Would you go dog sled racing or?
Yeah. So it's like dog sledding, ski biking, snowboarding, skiing, snowshoeing, like any type of winter activity that you can imagine that would be like a cute date setup. Like this is what we did. Corey and I, we went on a date where we literally just played in the snow and just like looked down some wishing well and like made a wish. I mean, it's just like silly stuff, but it's really cute.
No, but that's like the best way to get to know someone, you know, to like relate it to Bachelor. Sometimes when people go on dates, they do these activities, and while they're fun and entertaining, there's not really a way to get to know someone or talk to them or get to know them better. So like a date playing in the snow, I feel like is the best way to just to chill and talk to someone. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's hard because like, okay, so you have things you have to capture on camera, but then you also really want to get to know the person, right? So, you know, it's kind of like I think my favorite dates were probably the ones where it's like, you know, just me and Jose, we were snowshoeing, we were walking in the snow and talking and getting to know each other, right? Mm-hmm. And it's nothing where it's like super technical, like where I was on a snowboarding date with Dominic, and I'm busting my ass the entire time. So I'm right. Like, this is just like a little bit more difficult. But yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. And you're trying to find those like organic moments as quick as possible. And I think too that, I mean, that's really kind of the piece that I think speaks more than the process, you know, because you have to have those like chemistry bonds like start to form.
Totally.
Yeah.
What is it about the snow that makes it so much more romantic?
Yeah.
There's like something about snowfall that for me personally, at least, maybe it's because I grew up in the Northeast, but it's like so majestic. And it's just like I see Christmas lights and I immediately feel like butterflies.
Yeah. And this place was in the Alps. So it's like just stunning. And it's like this Austrian Alp villages. So it's like all these like German inspired towns everywhere. And everyone has a cute little accent and they're really excited because you're filming something in their town that doesn't get like a lot of like film stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was an experience for everyone.
I will say I've been to a few countries in Eastern Europe, and Vienna was one of my absolute favorites. Austria, I haven't had the chance to explore the Alps quite as much, but yeah, I've heard very good things. And to your question, I think the thing about snow is it's like it encourages people to like A, bundle up, but then B, like just be closer together, and like, you know, kind of you know, you get like the warm hot cocoa, the cozy fires, like all that kind of stuff.
You get you get some marshmallows in there with some whipped cream, and then you drizzle some caramel on top.
Mm.
Dude, I'm surprised there hasn't been a dating show that's like winter based yet. Which,
you know, here we go. 12 dates.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It's perfect timing for it too. And it's funny too that you guys filmed it in spring, and so it's finally out on HBO Max now. Is that right?
Yeah. So we started in February. So that's what, like 10 months.
How long did filming happen?
We were in Austria for. The leads were there for like a little over a month, I think.
So you like just made it before quarantine.
Oh yeah. No, we flew back and I think it was like days after they shut all the borders down in Europe.
What was it like, just for my own curiosity, when you were on set, you know, February and March was when everybody started getting a little nervous. Like, okay, is this going to be something? Is it not going to be something? But you guys were secluded filming. Okay. Was it like producers like freaking out, be like, hey, we might have to cut filming short because of Corona?
they were very professional, and they like wanted to like keep the process true, and we didn't really know what was going on. Okay, but however, I have a little like confession. They unplugged like our TVs and like took all the like equipment so you can't like plug it back in. And I found mine and I like plugged it up one night and I was like, okay, like what's going on in the world? And like I actually saw that you know, COVID had a breakout in Northern Italy, which was like right at the border where we were at. And I was like, oh, like this is getting really close.
Yeah.
And I did ask my producer, I was like, hey, like, is there a game plan in place? And they're like, we're good right now. Like we only have like 3 days left. And then it was like, we wrapped up shop right at the, everything got finished. So we just got super lucky, and it's cool because honestly, that was the last bit of like pre-COVID culture captured at least in my world. And so, I mean, I look at the person who I am today and look at that person, and it's like the amount of growth that all of us have gone through, the world's a different place. So it's cool to have just like, oh, this was Garrett at this time pre-COVID captured like days before it all unraveled.
Well, especially you, because you're in New York City too, which has obviously seen quite a bit of the worst of it, I feel like, at least in the USA. But how's it been watching yourself back on television? Has it been like weird for you?
It's weird. Okay, so it's like you go in and it's a simulation in a way where it's like, okay, you don't know what's going to happen. You're thrown into this world that's created for you. And, you know, you're going and you're being open to everyone around you, you know, opening up yourself to all these like people, cameramen and lights and everything. Just everyone hears everything, right? So you no longer have like a private journey.
Right.
And so like that was an experience. That was this like weird social experiment. And then watching it again on the other side, and you're like, you're seeing a lot more of like TV than versus like what I had personally experienced. And that's a whole nother simulation in itself. So it's cool. I mean, I'm learning a lot about all of television and media throughout this whole thing, but I think it's important, the ultimate story that was told. And you know, there's a lot of questions. So I'm like here to answer the questions, because there's a lot that went down and a lot that happened. And I think that it being the first time that this is like a gay narrative really played out on a major network, people are like, not everyone is like happy with the full story,
really?
To be honest. Yeah.
I was going to ask you about that, because, you know, Bachelor most recently has gotten flack about, you know, not being diverse enough. And so obviously Matt James is the Bachelor coming up in January, and he's the first Black Bachelor. We've had a Black Bachelor
in New York.
He lives in New York.
Doesn't he live with Tyler?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I used to sell the tower, one Manhattan Square, that they both have an apartment in.
Oh, okay. Well, is he nice?
Oh, for sure. Oh my God. Both of them are incredible guys.
Okay, actually, good.
Before I had to let my work know like that I was leaving for like a month to film this reality show. And so someone from my work was really good friends with Tyler, and Tyler and I had like a quick sit down chat. So
that's nice. Awesome. Yeah, Matt seems like a super nice guy. I'm excited to meet him. Ashley, my wife, met him and said just the nicest things. I'm super excited for him. But I wanted to ask you this question because, you know, we've also seen within the Bachelor franchise, Demi, who is bisexual, and she was dating a guy and a girl on Bachelor in Paradise. So I wanted to ask you what it means to be a gay man who is going on national television to date other men, because, you know, it's much more acceptable today than it was many years ago, but still it's a little groundbreaking.
Yeah, I mean, I'm shocked it took this long. So it's still like, again, I've kind of lived like in New York City, which is a bubble in itself, so I get it. It's not like the rest of America. But still, I mean, like, I feel like I live a pretty normal life, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like I'm treated differently than anyone else. And so for me to have that be represented in media as well, like, I'm not different really than anyone else. Like, I have a longing for love, and I want to spend the holidays with someone. And I think, you know, the fact that we can finally capture that, you know, love goes beyond a person's sexual orientation, I think it's awesome. And I'm excited that dating shows are like actually moving into this direction, because that's real life representation.
I do want to point out there was a show a while back called A Shot at Love with Tila Tequila. I don't know if you guys ever watched that one. Mm-hmm. But Garrett, just promise me you do not have a downward spiral like she did, because
what happened?
She's gone a little cuckoo. I don't foresee that happening with you. I don't obviously foresee that happening with you.
Good things for you, Garrett.
You definitely are a pioneer. There's no question. It seems like it's been a long time coming, and obviously it's good to start to see these things happen. Very, very much so, a long time coming. But
I mean, as a gay man, you go through like a weird journey. You know, you have to come out. You know, you have to like start dating, and you're like dating 10 years later than what you would have started dating if you were like straight and dating in high school. You know, mm-hmm.
And on that note, I guess I have a question for you too, because according to what I see here, you came out just 5 years ago when you were 24.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I guess every journey is different for every person, but 5 years after coming out for the first time, now to be on, like you said, a major network pursuing love and finding a relationship, that's huge. And you're definitely a pioneer. It seems like a lot, you know, I don't know.
No, it's definitely a lot. And I love that my family has been able to keep up with me too, because it's like, here's one bomb, boom, here's another bomb. And I was like super busy the last couple of years, and I wasn't able to go home for the holidays just because I was like kind of low on the totem pole at my company. So I was like working the holidays and stuff. And so like my first time back home was with like a whole production crew, and I'm like surprised, like here are all these gay men.
Yeah.
So I definitely was on this like fast track to becoming like a gay man that shares his like public life. But I think too, like I learned some really amazing lessons, still learning them as I'm going along. And I think the thing is one thing about me is I'm quick to own up to my mistakes. Because like that's how we learn. And I think too, being a pioneer, like it's kind of a lonely road in a way. You don't know like really necessarily how to navigate it. And I'm just trying my best, but ultimately I'm just trying to stay teachable along the way.
Hey, trying your best is all any of us can do, my friend. So I'm going to say a spoiler alert for here. Anybody who wants to watch the 8 episodes on HBO Max, 12 Dates of Christmas, and doesn't want to be spoiled anything, turn it off right now. But Garrett, you left the show single.
I did. Yes.
So what's going on with you now? Are you dating? What has happened post show? Do you suck at dating?
I may suck at dating. Okay. So like, it's just so weird. I went in and I didn't know what to expect as far as like if I was going to meet someone. I was hoping, of course, I would fall in love. And then I go back to the States and the world's like ending. And I'm in my Brooklyn apartment and I'm like looking out over like the view of Manhattan. And I'm like, shit, like, what am I supposed to do? Like, am I just going to like be up in my apartment all alone? Like, while like everything's happening here. And I just got heat from my family and everyone on national television for not really being home for so long. So I went home to be with my family in Louisiana. And there's not many options for gay dating in Louisiana, in that part, Lake Charles, where I'm from.
Well, I'd say certainly not as much in Louisiana as there is in New York City.
Definitely not. Yeah. So I spent that time with my family. Nice. I moved away right after high school. I was young. My little brother was... he was 5, and so now he's 19. So I was able to like just spend that time with him, with my sister, my nephews, my mom, my dad. So like that was super important for me. And then I decided to kind of like pick up, it's like a big question mark with New York. So I also knew that I wanted to put some roots in LA too. So I moved to LA and I started to kind of like put myself to be bi-coastal within real estate in both cities. So I've just been kind of like a bit all over the place. We were also filming more episodes of 12 Dates in LA over the summer, which you can see episode eight is. And we did some like studio shoots. So I have just been kind of a little bit like back between New York and LA and trying to figure out. And also I can't really like date anyone until this is like this shows out because
until you can get within 6 feet of someone, it's difficult to date when you can't be within 6 feet.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, well, I have to remind myself, Jared, it's not really your fault that you're still single. Like, and it's funny because now that like this shows out, and my friends who've known me for years are like seeing this thing that I went through, you know, I'm definitely some guys that in the past have may have wanted to try to go on a date with me. Now that they see that I'm single, they're definitely pursuing again. So this is interesting times.
it's definitely going to continue to happen that way too, for better or for worse, I guess. But it's fun, it's exciting, and hopefully as things continue to roll out with COVID and things become, you know, more under control, you'll be able to at least experience some of the pros and the benefits of, you know, putting yourself out there and being vulnerable and letting people see you in this new light too.
And I heard HBO Max just said that they were doing a season two. So, Garrett, are we going to see you on season two? Is it going to be like 13 dates of Christmas?
I don't know anything about season two. I did see that piece come out. And there was something on my face that said to be continued about my journey on the last episode. I don't know what HBO has planned, but
Hopefully you find love before that. But if not, I would love to see you back on 12 Dates of Christmas season two. Garrett, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody out there, make sure you guys go check out the 8 episodes streaming right now on HBO Max, 12 Dates of Christmas. Garrett, of course, everybody can go follow you on Instagram, Garrett Mark Cantell. So make sure you guys check out what he's going on in there. Garrett, thank you so much for joining us, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. It's a pleasure to meet you both.
All right, everyone, welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. And if you haven't already gone to check out 12 Dates of Christmas on HBO Max, I can't blame you because, listen, it's only been a couple minutes anyways, but be sure to check that out later. Anyways, Jared, we have a couple emailers that I think we should get to here. I wonder if Mark is listening in and is willing to give us a read through of these emails. He is. He just unmuted himself. Things are looking up. We have an email from Rita. First of all, Mark, hello. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Here's what Rita has to say. I'm a 23-year-old girl from south of Denver, Broncos fan, bachelor's degree in philosophy, and serial relationship sabotager. My friends kept a joke going for a while about me being the female Dean Unglert, which is how I found your podcast.
Nice.
I'm in a weird relationship position where I think my partner might be the one, but it seems like the more serious we get, the more freaked out I get, and I keep doing stupid shit. I'm absolutely going to lose him if I don't grow up a little bit, but for some reason I can't. I was wondering if you had any advice for the transition between flings to a serious relationship and how to practice being a good partner.
Ooh, good stuff. Jared, I feel like this is kind of right in your wheelhouse. What do you think?
She just said she's the female Dean Unglert. You should know this. I would say, honestly, though, I don't know. I mean, listen, we're all afraid of commitment. It's just kind of the way life is. You know, you never feel like you're ready. The grass is always greener on the other side. You're always fearful that you're making a mistake and that something better could be out there. But at some point, I think you just have to come to accept, you know, I don't want to say that, like, nothing better can come. But, like, and I also don't want to make it sound like you're settling. But, like, sometimes I think you just have to accept, you know, the responsibility of making a decision and the consequences that come with that, but also the wonderfulness that comes with that. Like, for me personally, all I could speak about is my own experience. And with Ashley, for so long, I was confused and indecisive and afraid of making a commitment, because what if I was making a mistake? What if getting together would ruin our friendship? And, you know, there's so many things that we love about each other, but there's some other things that make me nervous about being in a relationship with Ashley. And then once I got past that fear, because I, you know, saw a possible life without her, and it made me, like, take action, it was the best decision I ever made. So sometimes, you know, you just kind of have to, like, take a leap of faith. And that would be my suggestion for you, Rita, because I think sometimes you got to take a leap of faith. And I feel like if you keep being indecisive about this person, you might be really kicking yourself down the road if you end up losing them due to your indecisiveness.
Yeah, I agree with all of that stuff. I think the slight irony here is that she's a philosophy major, and now she's worried about whether her partner is or is not the one. And I think that maybe some of that stems from like the constant consideration of like our impermanence or whatever. You know, it's like, well, if she wants to make sure she finds the one that she's meant to be with, like her soulmate, for lack of a better phrase, because she realizes, you know, she's only got so much time on this world and she wants to make sure she does it right the first time. I think that's very natural and a very human thing. And I think we all kind of experience that. I think that we kind of get, Jared, I think we've maybe talked about this on the podcast before. We kind of have like a bad role model for relationships ingrained in our brains ever since we're young kids. Like all these freaking romance movies about how there's love at first sight and no matter what they do, the universe always brings them back to each other. And then we start to think that like that's how love should be and that we have to find our soulmate that way. And like there's these criteria as to what your life partner is supposed to be. But
we only exacerbated the problem by being on Bachelor. We're a part of the problem.
We are a part of the problem, but I think as I've gotten older, I've started to realize that that's not necessarily the case. And Rita's only 23. So,
yes,
you know,
she's young,
obviously pretty young. She just graduated college, it sounds like.
And like, don't worry about marriage right now as well. Like, I mean, unless he's, you know, about to propose tomorrow, like you got plenty of time. You're 23. You're super young. I don't know how old he is, but just take it one day at a time. Enjoy your life. Like Dean said,
it definitely is a one day at a time thing. I think you need to not put the pressure on yourself of him being or not being the one, because at the end of the day, all that's going to do is, like you said, self-sabotage the relationship. Stop thinking about it that way, and just start, like Jared said, take it day by day, one day at a time. You're a philosophy major. You're supposed to be good at that kind of stuff, you know? Mark, what kind of advice do you have for Rita? I think you've got something insightful here.
Similar, but I do sympathize with her, empathize with her, that it's hard to grow up instantly. You know, she's doing all these things that she knows are stupid. She knows maybe sabotaging the relationship because she's 23 and she wants to grow up. And so I feel like wanting to grow up is the first step to actually growing up. But the phrase I was going to say, you guys beat me to it, is one day at a time. I think that's all you can do, is just live in the moment and enjoy him each day. And if it was a good day and you didn't sabotage the relationship, well, then good for you. Let's work on tomorrow.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Do you think Rita should talk to her significant other about her concerns?
I think that'd be great. I think being as open and honest as possible and say, look, I do stupid stuff sometimes. I'm trying. I really want to be what you want me to be. I think he'd be very open to that.
I agree in the sense and for the simple fact that it's one thing to not say anything and do something stupid, but another thing to say, hey, I might do something stupid, and then do something stupid, because then when you do that stupid thing, that other person is going to be like, oh, this is exactly what she was telling me that she's going to do. It doesn't necessarily reflect anything about me personally. It's just that she's like getting fearful of a long-term
relationship.
And you can
talk through it at that point. Yeah,
exactly. You can kind of like laugh about it at that point. You could be like, haha, you said you were going to do this and now you're doing it. Like, this is stupid. Let's just carry on and continue to do what we've been doing. So I definitely think that they should have a conversation too. As tricky as it might be, and especially like at that age, you know, obviously everyone is different, but when I was 23, I was always fearful of having that conversation. Hopefully Rita is a little bit more advanced than I was at that age. But communication and take it day by day, and I'm sure it'll work itself out. And if it doesn't work itself out, don't go through life thinking about how you might have missed out on the perfect person, because I think that is not the way to do it. There's
going
to be more
people out
there.
And the perfect person does not exist, Dean.
Right. Well, the perfect person does exist. It's you, yourself.
We're staring at
you're
right
the perfect
now.
Person. Yeah. It's
here
me.
He is.
No. But Rita, I guess my point is Rita is the perfect person, and she just has to make herself happy, and then everything else will fall in line from there. That seems to be enough of an answer for that one. Mark, do you want to get into the next one?
Yeah, I'm a little confused by this one. And also, we missed our window on this one. So sorry, Lauren, we're a little late. I've been seeing a guy for 4 months now. We met and started talking during quarantine. Well, we've spent a lot of time together since then. I'm 26. He just turned 31. So we're both looking for a lifetime partner. At least I think he is, and I hope he is. He works from home and has spent a lot of time with his family, who live about 6 hours away from us. He's planning on being there for a few weeks around the holidays. And I'm not sure how to approach our relationship before he leaves. What's a guy's opinion? Is it too soon for that conversation?
So she is wondering whether or not she needs
I think
to
she
have
wants
the
to define the relationship before he goes home for the holidays.
Yeah. She wants the DTR.
Yeah.
DTR. Nice dating term, Dean.
Thank you. Thank you. I've been brushing up and trying to prepare myself for anything that you could throw at me. She wants to DTR before the holidays. I don't think she necessarily has to. I don't think that you should ever maybe wait. But in this case, it's like he's going home to the for the holidays to see his family.
I guess the question is she going to go down to visit him?
Well, it sounds like she's not going to. So I guess my point...
that solid of a foundation?
Would you have brought a girl to see your family after 4 months?
I don't know. 4 months is quite a long time. If he's leaving for a few weeks, that means he's going to be gone for about a month.
I think that you're looking at this through the lens of a normal year. And mid-pandemic, I don't think it's very strange at all for them not to be spending the holidays together if we're only dating for 4 months.
That's fair.
Like, it's even... you know, Kaylin and I have been dating for over a year and a half, and I'm like, okay, well, I think we should go see my siblings for Christmas this year. Like, even like we're pretty hesitant on that. So the fact that they're, you know, only 4 months into a relationship, I don't think matters too much. I think you can you have the luxury of like sitting back and seeing how it plays out over the next, you know, 3 to 4 weeks. And hopefully you guys talk every day and you get exactly what you need to out of it. And you can kind of carry on the relationship once he gets back. But like, let's say, you know, a week or two goes by, he's at home celebrating Christmas with his family and you don't hear from him. Then it's kind of like in a weird way, you're getting the answer that you didn't have to ask for because he's giving it to you, you know?
Right. And that's my gut too, is to kind of see how this plays out. I mean, I want everyone to be proactive and everything, but let's just kind of see how it goes. Let's be texting, let's be in touch, and let's be in contact and see how responsive he is and go from there for 21.
Jared, what do you think?
I'm torn. I agree with both of you, but what if my only hesitation would be if Lauren lets it play out and then she waits for him to see how much he'll communicate with her. I guess my only hesitation would be, what if he's doing the exact same thing? What if he's waiting for her to see if she makes the initial move? I know, like, old school, the guys are the one who are supposed to text and call and reach out, but like, it's 2020. Not all guys do that anymore. So, I don't know.
Well, text him.
That was very helpful.
You're welcome to text him. You can certainly initiate. And let's just see how he responds.
But, like, my gut agrees with you guys. But my head is like, well, what if he's waiting for the same thing from her? I don't know.
Well, here's the thing, is if she has to try and force something over these holiday weeks, if she's the one that's constantly having to text, having to call, having to check for updates, then it's probably not a good sign, right? But like,
I agree.
If it just continues to carry on and be like a natural flowing dynamic, then that's obviously a good thing. The point is, it's like, I don't think you have to really define anything at the moment because, like I said, you kind of just get to sit back, relax, and see what – maybe not relax, but you get to sit back and see what happens, you know?
Yeah, so, I agree with you guys. Advice. Don't define anything right now. Let it play out because then you'll get your answer over the next month. But before he leaves, or if he already did leave, I'm sorry, but just, like, make sure he knows that, like, hey, I miss you. I really like you. I like where this is headed. Let's keep talking. So that, like, you know, it's easygoing so it doesn't scare him away, but also lets him know, hey, I want to continue what this is.
Well, we need a follow-up email because really by the time this episode hits wherever you listen to podcasts, this will have already worked itself out. So,
yeah. So, Lauren, if you're listening, which we hope you are, please give us an update. You can email us isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. You know that obviously because you already emailed us. But for the other listeners out there that might have some questions or concerns about their dating or romance, isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. Please, please email us. We want to hear it from everyone. Jared, do you have a dating term for us this week?
I do. A 2020 dating term. This one is pretty obvious in my estimation, but you know, there's only so many dating terms out there. So hopefully 2021 brings us more because I'm running out of them. But here we go. A 2020 dating term today. The last one of 2020. Is it? Holy crap.
It is. Yeah.
Holy moly. Wow, this year flew by. All right, so the last dating term of 2020. God, let's get this year over with. Bird boxing. What could bird boxing mean in the realm of dating?
I'm going to pass on this one because I never saw the movie.
Oh, no. Well, that makes it so much better. Now you can't pass.
Mark, will you go first? Or Easton or Becky? Well, anyone else?
Bird Box was a movie where you couldn't look at anything. You couldn't make eye contact with anything. You had to blindfold yourself, because if you saw the creatures, you would lose your mind. So I think as someone who denies reality, who refuses to see the problems in a relationship, even when they're right in front of their face, they are living with blinders on.
Okay. Becky. Okay.
Yeah, I completely agree. Where it's just like, you're not even seeing the red flags, or you're like making excuses, and it's just like their perfection. It's like, can't unsee all the potential.
I feel like bird boxing is like every girl at a bar, the poor things. Like, they're like, I can't make eye contact with any of these creepy guys, because if I do, they're just going to, it's like, if I open my eyes, the creatures are going to prey upon me.
That's good.
That's a good one. Yeah. Tunnel vision.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was going to say. Like, if you look upon, you're the type of person where if someone looks upon you, they just lose their minds. They lose their grip on reality. I live down the street from the house from Bird Box. So Bird Box is a big movie in our town still.
Wow. Oh, talk of the neighborhood.
That's right.
Congratulations.
Everyone still goes up there and takes pictures with blindfolds on. Years later, it's been a lot of fun.
Why have I not seen you with a picture of a blindfold on in front of this house?
I have a picture. I'll send it to you.
Oh, did you post it on the gram and I just missed out on it?
Yeah. Some friend you are.
Oh, wow. I'm an asshole.
Some friend you are, Jared. I'm going to take a shot and say bird boxing is actually more similar to catfishing someone. You are hiding your true physical appearance while dating virtually, and that's what bird boxing is.
Well,
Jared?
I love the guess. I love you taking outside the box. No pun intended. But unfortunately, Dean, everybody else is right, of course. Bird boxing, made famous by the Netflix Sandra Bullock starring recent post-apocalyptic thriller. Bird boxing is officially defined by Tinder as, quote, being blind to just how bad your partner, the person you're seeing, really is. When you are in denial that your partner is a dingbat, you get the honor of calling yourself bird boxed. The last dating term of 2020 here on Help I Suck at Dating, bird boxing. Very nicely done, everybody. Thank you for your effort all year. A round of applause to all you for putting in the effort. All I had to do was look it up. You guys are the one who had to actually take a guess.
Poor Kaylin. Hopefully she doesn't listen to this and start thinking that she's bird boxing herself. But you never know. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this week's and this year's final episode of Help I Suck at Dating.
We made it through another year. Holy crap.
I got to say, I think this year we've all become slightly better daters. It's been a grind. It's been a struggle. But I can confidently say that I can look back, that Jared can look back, and hopefully you as a listener can look back to where we were this time last year and say that now we are slightly better at dating, right?
Well, I mean, I'd like to think so. I mean, we're both married. So if we're not better at dating, we're really doing something wrong.
We got freaking Becky a boyfriend. Mark and Easton haven't filed for divorce yet. So, like I said, things are only 100. Getting better. Betting 100 is pretty bad. You should know that.
Yeah,
That's great. I honestly don't know what to say. You know, it's the end of a year. I hope everyone has a great New Year's and is safe.
You know what's crazy, Dean? You know the last time I saw you in person was back in early March, like March, whenever we recorded at – we had she was from the Netflix show, the huge – Love is Blind, I think.
The one that gave me a lot of crap?
Yes. Well, she was the therapist who gave you so much crap. But yeah, dude, that was back in March. So I'm not going to see you for a full year because I'm probably not going to see you before March. Who the hell knows? Hopefully, here's my 2021 resolution, that we get back into the Help I Suck at Dating studio at iHeartRadio and record an episode in person in studio. That's my 2021 resolution.
That's great. I would actually really appreciate if you would come up with another more personal New Year's resolution for yourself, maybe your family, and we can talk about that next week on Help I Suck at Dating, because that will be the first episode of 2021. I'll come with a resolution for myself. Hopefully, Becky, Easton, Mark, everyone else can come with one as well. Maybe the emailers, some of the listeners can email us and say, isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com, and tell us what their resolutions for dating might be. Because listen, we all suck. We could all suck a little bit less. Hopefully you guys tune in next year so we can all make that happen.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.